I followed up on Carol's questions. Page 200, the after the quote, the first paragraph, which says the.
On page
200. The third line, it should not be 12, it should be 32. You're right.
Okay.
And page 201, that F-I-G-T, third line up from the end of the quote, should be gift.
Oh, gift.
And it, C-H-E-S-S-E-D is in the original. It must be Hebrew.
Chesed?
Yeah. Chesed, you ever hear that? Chesed? I don't know.
Have to ask my neighbors.
That's what it's, unless that's
the gift of mercy.
Which this, I guess that must be Hebrew for the gift of mercy. And they were your questions.
Thank you.
So that we're on 211. I think we've pretty much done the chapters. As I say, I'm just concentrating on the essence of the dreams, not really skipping any of that. But he just gets off. All this stuff, it's unnecessary.
Doesn't speak to you, huh?
No. And, I was hoping to get this published, but honestly, at this point, it would take so much work, I think, too. Because there's so much, there's a lot of wheat and a lot of chaff it would have to get.
Mm.
It would have to be edited. Pardon?
Information for you.
So, who knows what will happen. I think the book has gotten progressively less competent. It started out really good. But I'm not skipping this just because you want to move on, just because it's really not worth going through.
What's the book that you did publish? What's the name of that?
At the Heart of Matter.
At the Heart of Matter. And that's the one that's spring publication?
No, it's Inner City.
Oh, Inner City.
When did you publish that, Gary? Well, it won't be out until July.
Okay. We need a party. Yeah. We need a party.
Okay, I like a party.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gray downtown.
There you go.
Ticker tape.
Oh, yeah, ticker tape. Yeah.
Well, that takes us over to 217. I don't know if you read that far or not.
You told us to read 229.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, good for me. Again, we'll go a little bit slower on this chapter. We got two chapters. Oh, wait. Yeah, we got two more meetings, and we're starting the next to last chapter, so we'll make it.
Why is every chapter called the House of the Reunion when we get down here to the end?
That's the section heading.
Oh, okay.
You did.
There should be a section heading of every chapter or not?
Did you not do some of this last chapter? That's got a bunch of writing.
No.
I know, on page 204 it's the same heading.
Yeah, because it's the same section.
Section 4,
yeah.
House of the Reunion. Section 4, House of the Reunion.
Right, but if you go back, you'll see there's a section 3, a section 2.
But there's two section 4s.
Right.
Oh.
No, that there's several chapters per section.
Okay. I see. I get it.
So if you go in the front, table of contents. So now we're at chapter 19 and what to do is 19 and 20. We already did 21. As I say, we'll slow down here a little bit, but still we're Well, it starts off with more boring Polly talk. He explains why he's been blowing her off. We will also, around this time, he wrote two essays, which are in this book here, which we'll refer to. Both of them are crappy.
Both essays are crappy?
Yeah, I mean, they're really rude to Jung, if you sit and think about it for a second.
Really?
Yeah. But, see, it's all part of the story. We'll look at that. This next dream, dream 40, is hard. Jung interprets it one way. I think there could be a couple of ways, but in any case, it's an interesting dream. Bohr, remember Niels Bohr, comes to me and says that transition from V to W is very important. The first is Danish, the second English. One cannot always stay with Danish and must move over to English. While Bohr speaks, I hear Italian voices in the background. Then Bohr says that now a party is taking place in his new institute, and it should be many. And many people have been invited to it. As Bohr leaves, I see many people going into a new house, among them a physicist I know, also strangers, particularly Danes, whom I don't know. Pauli then gets into a etymological analysis of V and W, which I think is irrelevant, and so does the author. And he says about halfway down the page, it is noteworthy that Pauli does not concern himself with the real message of the dream. Rather, he looks at its philological questions. Remember, uncommitted archetypal thinking. And then the author says something which I don't quite know why he said it. I don't know how to evaluate it. It certainly sounds possible, but I don't know his chain of thinking. When he says the letter V would stand for theoretical physics, I don't know where he gets that. But it's certainly a plausible idea. Through reflection, a second letter V comes out of this and indicates depth psychology. And again, I don't see how he gets that. And the letter W, the double V, signifies the sphere where both sciences are united, a sphere beyond both of them. And transition from V to W is, in this interpretation, taken as a transition from physical reflection to a reflection of psyche and matter. Now, I don't know. I don't see how you can justify that.
Those Pauli's associations with the
no,
letters?
No, he just pulls that out of the air.
Pauli does?
No, the author
does. Oh, the author says this?
I don't see anything where Pauli says that. So that's really a misuse of interpretation. You really need to show your chain of thinking. Otherwise, you're just dumping an interpretation on somebody.
Yeah, he does that.
He does that. That's amateur. It might be correct. I wouldn't, but I don't quite see how he gets it. And, you know, we can't do that in our field. We've got to be able to explain where it comes from. But Jung is going to come back to that, and it does make more sense what Jung says. And what Jung says is not exactly off the point. But what the Italian voices in the background are to mean comes out of Pauli's geographical mandala. Remember, he had north intuition, south sensation. I forget what east and west were. Holland stands for intuition, and Italy for sensation. The move from V to W will also involve the voice of the sensation function. So this is a type of where Holland stands for intuition, not institution. in Italy for sensation. Now that kind of interpretation, I see, when you got an image and you give an amplification and then you interpret it, that I find valid. And he does give the amplification, which is Pauli's linking up of the Southern Europe with sensation. So that, to me, does make sense, that whatever is going on, it involves a sensation function. I personally would look at Italy as more than sensation. I mean, it's also joy. And that certainly was missing in Pauli's life. So, and I don't think they're mutually contradictory, but that's what would go through my mind. Then Jung gives a numerical interpretation, which really didn't click with me. But what Jung says on 219 does click. This is a distinctive characteristic of the human being who is at one with himself. He sees inner and outer oppositeness, not just as V equals 5. Now there Jung is beginning to amplify. V equals Roman numeral V equals 5. 5 is a body number, because you got a head and 4 extremities. And that does appear frequently. Which is a symbol of the natural person. You follow that? Natural person would be just fulfilling physical desire without reflection. Who, with his consciousness based on perception, becomes ensnared in the world of sense perception and its vividness. W, double V, by way of contrast, is the one, the whole person who, although himself not split, nevertheless perceives both the external sensory aspect of the world and also its hidden depth of meaning. See, that's the vertical and the horizontal block. That's, I have feelings for this woman, and those feelings mean something. I think that's the main idea there. The other thing I think I like is that the guy says, you know, did you notice, Pauli, you weren't invited to the party? That's thought homework. And there are Danes going in the party, which was, they're the V's. So I think it's trying to show him to move away from that one-dimensional understanding of things that is so much a part of science. That's an important dream. You see again how it keeps coming back. And you know, we have V and W here. We had the vertical and the horizontal clock. We had Wallenstein. We had isomorphy. All of those are circling around the same image, but using, sorry, the same meaning, but all using different images. Well, he then quotes what Jung says, and I think it's worth reading. Jung, you know, had his number one and number two personality. You're all aware of that? He describes number one is just living in time and space. And then he says, alongside the world of number one, bottom of 219, there existed another realm, like a temple in which anyone who entered was transformed and suddenly overpowered by a vision of the whole cosmos, so that he could only marvel and admire, forgetful of himself. Here lived the other, see, that's the vertical dimension, who knew God as a hidden, personal, and at the same time, supra-personal aspect. Here nothing separated man from God. Indeed, it was through the human mind, it was as though the human mind looked down upon creation simultaneously with God. This other is personality number two, which allowed Jung to see the world subspecie eternitatis, which means, putting it very loosely, from the long-term point of view. I think it literally means from the view of eternity. But just meaning, you know, like sort of, what is it, the seven generations? Is it the seven generations of the Native Americans? Not just how's the stock going to fare tomorrow, but what's the long-term effect? So it's that tension between number one and two that Pauli's being asked to consider. Now, like with respect to Ted's question, you know, see, number one says, oh my God, having this relationship is going to make a mess in my marriage. That's personality number one. Personality number two says, you know, I'm here for a reason. And how am I going to feel on my deathbed? And how do I understand what I have to go through now in that longer perspective? That's what Pauli could do.
Does that long perspective go beyond your own death? Also?
I think it does. I do, yes.
The mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry, can I couldn't go beyond
your own death. In the sense that it is possible for you to be conscious of what this might mean for future generations.
Absolutely. Future generations, and we've talked, I don't think death is the end. That you're living so that you're happy in eternity. There the church almost got it right. Church made it moral. And I don't think it's moral. It's existential. Are you fulfilled? Did you fulfill the person you're here to be, or did you not fulfill the person you're here to be? And if you have, you're going to make mistakes along the way. The other point then that he mentions on 220 is what we talked about at great length in Number and Time, is the dual mandala. Remember that we just had a dual mandala today? The world clock, that's a dual mandala. The idea is that in religious traditions, often the mandala is said to represent the unity of the world, but it's made up of two circles. Again, driving the point home of a time and space dimension and a infinite dimension.
Here at the bottom of the page, he just mentions the two wheels, and for the one that von Franz is talking about, the timeless one doesn't turn.
I know. I didn't know what to make of that.
I was going to check that, because does it really say that in her text? I don't remember it.
I think she does.
Does she? Okay.
Yeah.
Somewhere he was saying in that is that the further thinking about it, that maybe they're not really connected. And that there's a fourth dimension.
Well, they're connected to a fourth dimension.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
You know, I think you could go two ways. And
then you get the quaternary idea of you.
Mm-hmm. I just have learned, don't assume more than you know. You could say that this is splitting hairs, or you could say that the mandala does show an inoperable apparatus to suggest that for him this would never become operable. But how do you know? See, I think it's fair to hypothesize, but when you're dealing with somebody's soul, you can't reach a conclusion until you have sufficient information. So I don't know how to evaluate that, Carol.
Is your manual, I'm not ready. So is this something that we see in different people around the world?
Yeah.
What is it like? Is it simple to draw?
Well, that one, the 4 o'clock.
Oh, that's a dual mandala.
Sure.
But is that the way they exist in real world?
Yeah.
Oh, they are drawn that way.
Yeah. Well, as a vertical and a horizontal circle.
How can you do that on a flat surface?
Well, in perspective.
No, I mean, you mean like the people in Asia and so forth, the Buddha? And so
I think, I don't know.
In the sand and so forth?
I don't know. Well, you can draw 3 dimensions in sand. Draw 3 dimensions in pictures.
In Number and Time, she gives examples of that.
She gives examples.
So it does occur in people's cultures.
Yeah, in cultures. She gives, in that book, Number and Time, she gives examples of those different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I was curious.
Or sometimes they are described verbally. Somebody will have a dream or a vision and describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It's not frequent, but it's not absolutely unknown either.
Does it always refer to time?
Well, of course, they don't. I don't think they would put it that way. They might say it refers to God and human, or infinite and finite. We're the ones who are interpreting it. Well, von Franz and Pauli are about done with each other. Page 221. You see where it says 237? The dream of V and W also has a hidden message which does not require great philological knowledge to meaningfully amplify. Very possibly the dream concerns the break in the relationship with Marie-Louise von Franz. Now, I'm not quite sure why you would say that, but let's think about it. What she answers to Polly's questions, he was asking her about what she thought he meant, is not known, but he is offended at it and writes, "Please tell the devil that I thank him for your last lines. I am always for politeness. I am always for polite, if distanced, manners when it comes to him. As with that bishop in George Bernard Shaw's piece, Getting Married, who always says, 'A fair play for the devil, please.' But I heartily advise you to see this fellow in yourself." She probably just told him what she thought. And it's about time. And look at his reaction. Couldn't be about me. Welcome to the world of the narcissist. You know my definition of narcissism. Narcissist is one who complains about the way you say "ow" when they kick you in the shins. That's what he's doing. He's been treating her like dirt all along, and now he's scolding her. Whatever transpired is noteworthy that the dream of V and W is the last dream to be found in the correspondence with von Franz. It is though with the conjunction motif that should be the definitive split between Pauli and Jung had begun. figuratively speaking, the letter W is beginning to fall apart into two parts, even before Pauli could ask what it might mean. After this incident, the correspondence with von Franz contains only three letters through the end of 1955. There would be no more exchange of ideas. That's sad. So perhaps in that light, you know, the V and W could be, he, V is the natural man, part of him that could only entertain having a relationship with her, living out his sexuality. And the W would be having a relationship with her, living with those feelings, but working with them on another level. That's very possible.
You could look at the W as his name, and if he wasn't with her, he was only half a Wolfgang. He's
yep.
a V.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This will give a whole new meaning to the V definition.
Are you want to do some more? Well, we might almost get through this. Let's go. You okay for more? Now, I also have questions about this next stream. I'm in a room with
222.
I'm in a room with the dark women, and experiments are being carried out in which reflections appear. The other people in the room regard the reflections as real objects, whereas the dark woman and I know that they are just mirror images. And by the way, in the German, the quote should go before just. I know it sounds pedantic, but it might be important. It should be, are, quote, just mirror images, unquote. This becomes a secret between us. The secret fills us with apprehension. Afterward, the dark woman and I walk alone down a steep mountainside. Now, what he makes of it is that the people see symbols as concretizations. Does that make sense? I put it that way. It, in other words, that, let's say, his relationship with von Franz wasn't really meant to be a love affair. It was meant to serve his creativity. And to understand it only as a chance to have a physical relationship would be to see a reflection as an object, to see a symbol as an object only. That's what the author says. And I think he's right. And, but then he says that the dark woman knows that these experiences are to be images. That we are, you know, we are to possess the meaning. Not possess. Bad choice of words. To apprehend the meaning of experiences as images, conveying to us some message, what we've been saying all along. But there's something in that way that is phrased that really bothers me. Does anyone see it? The way the dark woman conveys to him.
Mirror?
Mm-hmm. Mirror would mean that they are an event is reflective of a meaning.
I took it as
that. Uses the word just.
Just. Mm-hmm. I think the author missed that. Mm-hmm. You see, you got both errors there. The people think they are real objects. He and the dark woman. Women think they are just symbols. Oh, this relationship is just a symbol. I don't have to get involved with her. I don't have to make a mess of things. I can take this abstractly. Both are errors.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's true, then there's really cause for worry. And I think it explains his apprehension. Again, the author doesn't say this.
Say that again, Gary.
Well, if I'm right, if it is an error to say just mirror images, then the dream shows a real problem. And it explains why he's apprehensive at the end.
Well, when he says just, is that discounting the psychic reality?
It's not when he says just.
The woman and I.
Yes, it's when the woman says just. She agrees with him. Do you see what's so bad about that? She's turned against him. So that's Sophia. Sophia represents the knowledge of the unity of the event and the meaning, the body and the spirit, the fact and the symbol. And here she is only speaking one half the truth, which means she's done with him. So this is that red snake back again. She's leading him into error because she's trying to kill him. Well, no, I don't think so, but I couldn't say for sure. I think that's why he's full of apprehension. He doesn't know it rationally, but something in him knows that the anima is done. I mean, she has tried to get across, and when she can't get across, then she starts lying. And he'll believe her, and he'll perish. I think you could say what you said, Kathy. I mean, I couldn't prove my point, but my feeling was that was one more chance the unconscious was given him to show him that he was inflated in this assessment and to show the need to come down to reality. But it's speculation on my part.
The image it brings up in me is that now this relationship is with this one that has given up on him. They're alone and they're in a downward walk.
Yeah, could be.
The sense I have.
Mm-hmm.
After you talked about it.
Could be. You can take the hill as out of touch with reality, or you can take it as the place where revelation occurs. And if it's in that meaning, as you are saying, it's showing that he's losing his spot to receive. But you see how the dreams become so subtle. Pretty darn near. Not completely because of the downward descent. It's still trying to get something across to him.
I know we've been through that for them. Why is it the dark woman, not the light woman, here in this kind of relationship?
Well, the for him, the dark woman would represent sex, and I'm being very simple, sex and its spiritual meaning. Light woman would represent creative imagination.
So, in that sense, it would have been better for him if it had been a light woman.
Yeah, I think, in other words, it would have given him reason to be suspicious, because he's learned to trust this dark woman. And now she's turned against him.
Yeah, I see.
This is the danger of, you know, dream interpretation 101. You'd say, oh, dark woman, look, she's leading him right to his grave. So you have to be very circumspect in these details. That's why I guess that's just part of the way I work with this stuff. But like the dream of atone for the sins. You can't take anything for granted, you know. You got to think, now what? Whose sin? Sin against whom? And you realize that statement couldn't be true. But that's the way the unconscious works. Now, I think I mentioned that the Greek commander who approached the Delphic Oracle and said, if I go to battle, what will be the result? And the oracle said, you will destroy a great army. Failed to mention it was his army. But see, you jump to a conclusion with these images and don't really think, okay, now, whose army, or do I trust this woman, or why would she be saying that now when all along she's been talking about the body? Well, what he says there, the rest of 222, is simply what we've been saying about the reflections being the image and the meaning of an event.
Doesn't that dream remind me a little bit of, what is that, the parable of the cave in the Plato?
Uh-huh.
Is that similar? Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no dark woman there.
Well, interesting what it's... Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yes, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yes, it does. But, well, you know, speaking of Dante, what we're going to see is Dante starts out following a woman. And generally, you are led by the anima, and the woman by the animus. But then you got to ask, but why has she changed her tune? Okay, Pauli's two essays.
They're in that book with you.
Yeah. We're going to look at them very briefly. Maybe I'll mention them now, then we'll pick up with it next time. One is called Science and Western Thought. What it does basically is say how Western thinking has always had two modes, the mystical and the scientific, the religious and the scientific. But what he doesn't say is what is the synthesis of them asking of me. He keeps the two modes separate and says at some point there'll be a unification. Well, that point is now, Wolfgang. And so it remains an intellectual analysis of two mental styles, end of story. I think he would say, well, I'm trying to explore and give validity to the non-logical. But all he does is label it. And that's where the essay finishes. But these would be the two that he would say he's doing what the dreams are asking him to. As the author will point out, it's inadequate. And the second one, I think, is just downright nasty. It was written for Jung's 70th birthday.
Jung's?
Yeah.
What made me think it was for Bohr?
That was another essay.
Okay.
See, here's a picture of Jung. Whatever. What he does is go through Jung's basic idea of the unconscious. and show or describes how it might, how it plays a role in scientific creativity. That science comes, scientific ideas don't come in a linear way, they come through inspiration. But listen how he ends his essay. To Jung. This way of looking at things leads me to expect that the further development of the ideas of the unconscious will not take place within the narrow framework of their therapeutic applications, but will be determined by their assimilation to the mainstream of natural science as applied to vital phenomena.
What is that?
That's what he's been saying all along, that you know, this idea of the unconscious isn't being, well, what he's really saying is psychologists aren't smart enough to develop this idea of the unconscious. That the idea of the unconscious is going to be developed not in psychology, because you're too stupid, but in physics, because we're smarter.
Could you please reread that?
This way of looking at things leads me to expect that the further development of the ideas of the unconscious will not take place within the narrow underlying framework of their therapeutic applications, but will be determined by their assimilation to the mainstream of natural science as applied to vital phenomena.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with you on.
Why is
in
that?
And this says, I was thinking about what you were saying earlier, and it goes back to this idea that is pushed by President of the University of Chicago, Hutchins, at the university, and it relates to this, which says, one subject should not be isolated from another department, I mean, one department. They should be integrated. Like, the Department of Religion ought to have something to say to the science department. And the science department ought to have something to say to the religion department. And that was his crying plea.
Good for him.
And I think that is true for psychology. And chemistry or physics. I was telling my son about this recently. I was talking about how Jung was trying to polarize to physics. And the way it boils down to it, one way people say it is that, like, you could say quantum theory is too important to be left to the physicist. That's another way of saying it. Psychology and depth psychology is too important to be left to the analyst.
Right, but he's not.
In other words, everybody ought to have something to say about that.
That's not what he's saying.
Oh, I thought that's what he was saying.
No, he's saying that psychologists should learn from the scientist. He's not saying the scientist should learn from the psychologist.
Oh, I was giving him the benefit of that, that he meant that.
Well, he says right here, the narrow framework of therapeutic applications, but it will be determined, not dialogued, determined by their assimilation to the mainstream of natural science.
Can that be seen in a broader thing, like what I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I didn't hear reciprocity in that word.
There's no reciprocity.
That word narrow.
Narrow and determined. Yeah. See, there's no dialogue there.
Didn't he say earlier that psychology would be absorbed into
quantum? Right, but remember the quote I was trying to find that I thought was so wonderful, which we talked about last time. He said, neither science or psychology will be the big picture. The big picture will be religion, and it will absorb both of them. Now, that I can accept. Remember that? Well, I was trying to find it. Maybe, why don't we pick up with this next time? I'll find it. I'll review these, and then I think it's really important because he's pissed off on Franz. How do you think Jung felt reading that for his 70th birthday? You know, it was his birthday present. And his birthday present is, I will determine the evolution of your idea. My field will determine the evolution of your idea. Happy birthday! Ha ha ha.
I was going to say one thing, this is in the kind of practical scientific area where this comes out to me, at least. You know, they're all kind of experts. Like one of my heroes in science is Linus Pauling, mm-hmm. who was trying to determine the structure of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And he was considered an expert in using X-ray diffraction to determine.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a person like Watson. He had no experience in physics, you know, using X-rays and stuff like that. And he's getting the lion credit for determining the structure of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
That is an example, a practical example of why, you know, structure determination should not be left to the expert.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who can come out from nowhere and give an insight that is very shattering.
Yeah, I don't think that's what Pauling said.
You know, I was probably giving him too much.
It's okay. He needs his friends. finish the book. And we won't get through it next time, but we'll get through a lot of it, and we'll finish up easily by the last class. If you'd like, for that last class, bring some questions, because we'll probably get through earlier, and it won't take 2 hours to get through them.
So we've got to read now to the...
It's only one more chapter.
We have two more sessions.
Two more sessions, and I know we'll take all of next time. We probably won't take all the final, so just bring questions along again.
And if you
want to
meet at my house for the last one like we did last year?
It's fine with me.
Oh, that's
it'd be lovely.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
So we'll do a little lunch like we did last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that okay with everybody? The last class, we'll do what we did last year. We'll meet at my house, and then we can have lunch and...
Do you want to
bring, if it's okay with you?
I
have to do that. It's terrible. I can't even
believe
I'm on your
phone,
guys. So
I don't
have to
do that.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Kind of a nice way to
spend. Depressive
fun.
No.
So it's not the next class.
Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.